that would go out and do the dumbest things. I mean, things that were blatantly against the rules. They would go out and do them. And you know how they got caught? Because they always came back and talked about it. They just couldn't keep from the things they were doing. And you know what? I mean, ultimately, that was their undoing, okay? Because they went out and not only did they do something that they shouldn't have done, but they began to boast and brag about it, okay? So hopefully none of us would ever rob a bank or say something stupid like that, but how many Christians have you heard about that were destroyed by the things that they said? Now, why do you think God put so many wisdom principles in the book of Proverbs about what we say? Because the book of James tells us that this whole little muscle in our mouth called our tongue can get us in a world of trouble. A world of trouble. All by the things that are said. Okay? And so let's make sure we learn from that. Okay? And don't be destroyed by the things that come from your own mouth. All right? Number four. Let's look at the next wisdom principle here. Verse 8. This is what he says here. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let me read that again. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now, it's very interesting here, and it's important as you study the Bible to define what the words mean. Okay? That word talebearer, it means a whisperer. It means one who tells tales, especially things that are secret. That's what the word talebearer means. Okay, now that word, that phrase, innermost parts of the belly, literally means physically down inside of a person. Okay, so here's the wisdom principle from Proverbs 18:8. Here it is. Trusted information must be kept sacred, for revealing it can cause damage. Okay, now that word talebearer, it's not just referring to someone who's a gossip. Okay, although maybe you could include that in there. A talebearer is someone who specifically goes around telling secret information. Okay, now I'll get to that in just a second here. There's a direct Bible command about not being a talebearer. Leviticus 19:16 says this: Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. I mean, one of the direct commands of the nation of Israel was this: you know what? You're commanded by God not to be a talebearer among the people. Don't go amongst the people and be a whisperer of secrets. Now, sometimes those secrets are true secrets. Maybe it's trusted information someone's trusted you with. Maybe sometimes it's secrets that are made up or lied about. But either way, that is what a talebearer does. Now, a talebearer can cause great damage to a person. Great damage, okay? Here's a few other verses about a talebearer from Proverbs. Verse 19 of chapter 20. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Chapter 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Proverbs 26:22. Notice this. Once again, God repeats the exact same thing he repeats in chapter 18. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Now listen to me. The old saying, the old schoolyard saying, okay? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not true. Not according to the word of God, it's not true. Okay? And if you use your tongue and you become a talebearer, you can literally physically wound people with your words. That's what God says. That's what the scripture says. Okay? And so, remember, a talebearer isn't so much a gossip, although that could be part of the definition, but a talebearer is one who can't keep from saying things that ought not to be said. Now, sometimes those things are made up things. You know what? Sometimes those things are things that maybe are true. But do you realize not everything you know about a person should be repeated? I mean, folks, think about it, okay? I mean, there's things that we probably know about each other that aren't so pleasant. All right, we're a church family. Many of us have been together a long time, okay? I've grown up in this church. I've been in this church for 35 years. Okay, many of you have known me when I was a child, when I was a teenager, and you know what? When I was growing up, learning stuff, even to this day, there was things that I did that I shouldn't have done. Some of you know of those things, okay? And you know what? I know some things probably that some things you have done that you shouldn't have done. But just because we know those things doesn't mean we ought to go around talking about them. Because you know what? None of us are perfect. All of us make mistakes. Okay? And there's been times in our lives where we've done foolish things. But you know what? That moment didn't define who we really are. Okay, and just because of that, we shouldn't go around talking about those things. There are certain things that just ought to be kept secret. Now, I'm not talking about covering up sin. Okay, by the way, the scripture clearly says that we're not to do that. I'm not talking about if you know that someone is living in an open, sinful, secret lifestyle that you shouldn't go tell someone about it. I mean, because the Bible talks about that, not covering up for people who are knowingly sinning. By the way, there's laws against that, right? I mean, if you know someone's committed a crime and you cover up for them, you're going to be charged with part of covering that crime up. Okay, that's not what he's talking about here. But what he's talking about here is just particular things, whether it's trusted information that you know about someone, whether it's something you've learned inadvertently about someone. If it's something that could cause harm, don't be a talebearer. Don't be a revealer of secrets. Okay, and by the way, that's why it's so dangerous. But all this stupid social media that people's obsessed with, because you know what? When people get talking with that keyboard, I guarantee you that it's loaded with gossipers, scorners, and talebearers. I guarantee you that's true. Okay, so you got to be very careful the things you involve yourself in. Okay, why? Because the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Listen, don't be a talebearer. Don't wound with your tongue. Okay, here's the next wisdom principle we're going to look at. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. Here's what he says here. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, if we were to be honest, I guarantee you all of us have been guilty of this. Answering a matter before we hear it. Okay, I heard of a story one time, and it wasn't me, I promise you. I know I've told you all those times I've been pulled over and never got a ticket, okay? But I've heard a story of a person one time who was pulled over, and as soon as the officer came to the window, they're like, "Sorry, sir, I'm sorry for speeding. I know I was doing 15 over." And the officer says, "I pulled you over because you had a headlight out," okay? And so, you know, I've heard of stories like that before, all right? But the thing is this, all right? You know, we need to listen more than we talk. And that's the wisdom principle being taught here. We need to listen more than we talk. Okay? Now, Pastor Ross always used to tell us this. There's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? Why did he do that? Because he wants to listen twice as much as we speak. And folks, listen. We need to make sure that we pay attention and listen to things before we speak. By the way, you look at Jesus, you do a study of Jesus in the New Testament, his interaction with people, he was a master at this. I mean, people would ask him questions. You know what he would do a lot of times? He would ignore them. You know why he was ignoring them? Because he was listening. And by the way, let me just say this. Some questions don't deserve an answer. And wisdom distinguishes between what should be answered, what shouldn't be answered. Okay? There's a verse that we'll look at here in Proverbs later on. And it says this. It says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be likened to him." So there's a principle that says, you know what? When someone asks something, if it's a fool, answer not that fool. But then the next verse, and we'll study this out later, it says this. "Answer a fool according to his folly." So the scripture is not contradicting itself. What it's saying there is you got to know when you're supposed to talk, when you're not supposed to talk. Okay? And how do you do that? You do that by listening. By listening. James chapter 1 verse 19 gives us a perfect formula. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." This is a great formula here. Okay? Because you know what usually happens? If you are not swift to hear, if you're quick to hear and you're quick to speak, you know what that usually means? You're quick to wrath. Okay? And it's important that we make sure we properly digest information. We listen before we speak. Okay? Don't just automatically. And by the way, I mean, I've been guilty of this before. I mean, it's like sometimes we like hearing ourselves talk. So we just want to, we want to maybe impress people with our knowledge. So instead of thinking, we start rambling stuff off. Folks, listen, that is not what wisdom does, okay? Wisdom listens and formulates what the proper answer is before it speaks, all right? So be swift to hear, slow to speak, and if you do that, you will be slow to wrath. Okay, two more. Let's look at verse 20. Here's the sixth speaking principle from chapter 18. Verse 20, it says this. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now think about what that verse is saying. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of what? His mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Okay, that's what I like about the book of Proverbs, all right? Sometimes when you read a wisdom principle, you read a verse, it's very obvious what the meaning is. Sometimes it's not very obvious. So you know what you've got to do when you read a verse that's not real obvious? You got to begin to study it out, and here's what I do. I ask myself, Lord, what in the world, why did you put that in the Bible for? What are you trying to teach me from that? And I begin to think, and I begin to study it out, and this is a great wisdom principle. All right, here's the wisdom principle is this. Your ability, thank you, to communicate helps determine your monetary gain. Let me say that again. Your ability to communicate helps determine your monetary gain. You begin to defining those words in there, okay? That's exactly what he's talking about here, okay? Now, let me give you some Bible illustrations of this, okay? The wisdom that someone spoke literally helped them either raise to a certain position or gave them material possessions. Okay, now, once again, I'm not talking about being sly here. I'm not talking about trying to be slick and, you know, being a slick salesman and talking people into buying stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, but there are some biblical illustrations of this. Let's go back. You don't have to turn there. But let's think back to the book of Genesis. Think about a young man named Joseph. Okay, and you know what? Joseph, we all know Joseph's story. What a wonderful example here. Okay, but Joseph, he found himself in Pharaoh's prison. He was there for something he did not do, of course. We understand the story, all right? But notice here, this is very interesting, all right? Now, we know God was behind all this, and we're not taking God out of the picture here. But what specific thing about Joseph did God use to get him from the prison to the palace? Let me read it to you. Genesis chapter 41, verse 15. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Notice here, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then he went on to tell Pharaoh his dream. You know what God, the specific thing about God, Joseph that God used to exalt him from the prison to the palace? He used his words of wisdom. I thought that was interesting here, okay? That Joseph, because of his ability to communicate, he was able to stand before Pharaoh and immediately go from the pauper to a prince. Immediately. You know why? Because he had the ability to communicate. Wisdom. He had the ability to communicate wisdom. Now, we understand God was the source of that. Okay, but you know what? What would have happened if Joseph didn't know how to speak to people? I mean, he come in before Pharaoh. He was disrespectful. You know, why in the world did you allow me to be in this prison for all these years? I was unjustly put there, and he caught an attitude with Pharaoh, and he didn't communicate well. Guess what would have happened? Guess where he probably would have spent the rest of his life at? In the prison. But you know why he was able to go from the prison to the palace? Because God used his ability of communication, his speaking of wisdom to exalt him. Here's another man in the Bible that was said of, the same type of thing. Daniel, chapter 1. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he should not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Why did Daniel, was he able to do the almost exact same thing Joseph did? He went from a slave into a high ruler of the kingdom. How did that happen? You know how that happened? Because he knew how to communicate. He communicated with wisdom. Okay? And you know what? That's exactly what he's teaching us here. A man's belly shall be satisfied. What will he be satisfied with? Okay? What will he be filled with? You know what he'll be filled with? The fruit of his mouth. The fact that he knows how to speak properly, okay? And the second part of that verse, and with the increase of his what? Of his lips shall he be filled. And God's teaching us here the importance of how we know how to speak and communicate. Okay? A personal illustration from my own life here. Okay? When I went off to Bible college, I was 18 years old. And, you know, most guys that went to Bible college, the Bible college I went to, they went to Bible college. They got a job working at a factory, you know, making $10 to $12 an hour. And that's the job they worked. They worked 40 plus hours a week, sometimes more than that, to eke out a living to get through Bible college. Okay? Well, I was fortunate enough to have men in this church who, when I was a young man, a teenager, taught me a trade. Okay, and I knew from counsel, from pastor, from my parents, and from these men, they said to me, why don't you go use your trade at Bible college and use that to work your way through? Okay, so what I did when I went to Bible college, I had enough money to save to get me by for about 3 months. So I took those first few weeks I was there, and I began to pray and ask the Lord to give me the right job. Then I went through the phone book, and I found about 20 different carpet stores within about a 20-mile radius, and I drove to those carpet stores. And I drove there, and I said, look, I'm in Bible college. I would like a job doing this type of work. Most of them just kind of looked at me, had me fill out an application, and sent me on my way. The very last place I went to out of 20, all right, this took me a couple weeks to do. The very last place I went to, the guy that owned the store, he wasn't there, but his sister was. And I came in and told her what I was doing, and I didn't hear back from her for a couple weeks because the guy that owned the carpet store was out of town. Well, he comes back into town, and his sister said this to him. She's like, there came a young man in here, and he came in, and he knew exactly what he wanted. He asked for it in such a polite way. I think you ought to call him and talk to him. So the guy that owned the carpet store, a couple weeks later, called me back. I went in and talked with him. Long story short, I worked for that guy all through my years of Bible college. I'm still friends with him today, and I probably made three times more money than those other guys made working a $12 an hour job. Now, why am I saying that? I'm not saying that to say anything to brag on me. I'm thankful that I had people who taught me as a young man, my parents, other men of this church, and my pastor and all my authority taught me, I learned how to communicate. And because of that, God used that. Now, it was him. And it was everybody else. But you know what? If I would have walked into that place looking like a slob, not knowing how to communicate, I never would have landed that job. But you know why I landed that job? Because of the skills people taught me and the ability that God gave me to communicate. And because of that, God used that to literally, as this verse says, satisfied my belly. And you know what? And I was filled from what? The fruit of my lips. Now, there was more to it than that, but that was a key part of that. Okay, so folks, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this. You know what? Let me tell you a reason you need wisdom. Okay? Because wisdom will help you. If you use wisdom with your lips, it'll help you communicate properly, and God can use that in your life to bless you monetarily. It's a very important principle here, okay? And then the last verse we're going to look at, and we'll be quick about it. Verse 21. Here's what he says, Proverbs chapter 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, real quick, I don't have time to develop this as deep as I wanted to, but let's read that one more time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, once again, I begin looking at the wording of this verse, and if you just casually read it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But notice what he says here, okay? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. As I thought about this, many things came to mind. I thought about how the verse could apply to the fact that how we use our words, whether of encouragement or discouragement, could boost someone's spirit or their confidence. I thought about that, and I'm sure that could apply. I thought about how we've learned that we've already previously studied out how our words can be used as like a medicine and a healing salve to those with the wound. And I think that also could apply. But the meaning that the Holy Spirit really gave to me was this. Okay, and it came from reading the second part of the verse, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I asked myself this question, what's it mean, love it? Love what? Okay, and I began to think about it, and here's what the Lord taught me is this. Okay, what fruit can be produced from the it? Okay, I mean, when it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, what's all that mean when it says life and death are in the power of the tongue and they that love it? What's that mean? Here's what I believe it means. Whether or not we give to other the gospel is literally a matter of life and death. And I think that's what the Bible's teaching us here, is the fact that if you love the fact that the fact that when you give someone the gospel, it can literally be the difference between life and death. And when you begin to love it, you know what you're going to do when you begin to love it? You're going to eat the fruit that comes from doing that. And I don't, like I said, I don't have time to develop this, but you chase that through the scripture. You chase the fact of what the Bible says about producing fruit as a Christian. You know what he's talking about when he talks about producing fruit? Most every time you go to that, he's talking about producing fruit as far as seeing people saved. Reproducing yourself as a Christian. That's what he's talking about. Jesus made that very clear in John chapter 15. He said this, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what God's interested in us, we doing as Christians? Bearing fruit. That's what he's interested in us doing. Okay, I mean, why did he put us here? Why did he put us in a church? Okay, you know why? So we can produce fruit. That means reproducing in people's lives, seeing people saved, carrying out the Great Commission. And if you do that, and the Bible says that you love that, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to eat the fruit of that. Okay? Some old preachers call it this, clipping coupons. All right? Pastor said that before. I'm thinking especially about like men like Brother Hamlin and men like Brother Schindler who spent their whole life in the ministry and they invested in people. And now you know what they're seeing? As their older years are coming to fruition, they're seeing the people that they've reached. They're seeing that down to the second, third generation. And you know what that is? They're eating the fruit of that. You know why they're eating the fruit of that? Because death and life are in power of the tongue. And it's so important, folks, that we communicate the gospel's message. So important that we do that. And the Bible says this, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Okay? So remember, whether or not you choose to communicate the gospel literally is a matter of life and death to that person you're talking to. And if I had time, I could give you illustrations. I mean, there's been people who I failed to give the gospel to. And you know what? Months later, they were killed. And as far as my knowledge, we never accepted Christ as our Savior. And the opposite of that is true. There's been people that I've witnessed to were saved, literally not knowing that was their last chance. And just a few months later, they slipped into eternity. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it's so important as Christians that we communicate the gospel. All right, so the seven principles we learned today. Number one, have the right source from which your words flow. Number two, don't allow your lips to get you into foolish controversies. Number three, don't be destroyed from things that come from your own mouth. Number four, trusted information must be kept sacred, for revealing it could cause damage. Number five, listen more than you talk. Number six, your ability to communicate helps determine your monetary gain. And number seven, whether or not we give to others the gospel is literally a matter of life or death. Now, I know that was a whirlwind study of chapter 18, okay? And there's no way that we could completely soak all that in a 25-minute Sunday school lesson, but I pray it was a blessing to you. Think about it, and maybe this week you can read through 18 and think about it some more.